Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who just got finished shaving all the balloons in my house, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our amazing Race for Hap Up show. I'm Rob Cesternino, here with the amazing Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you doing?
I'm great, Rob. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you, too. Oh, my God, yeah. Happy Cinco de Cuatro.
Exactly.
As Antonio pointed out in the Game of Thrones recap on post-show recaps. And boy.
Cinco de Cuatro. It's the 4th and 5th.
Yes. Jessica, we have a very interesting Amazing Race episode to talk about here tonight.
Yeah, one might argue they're all interesting in their own way.
They're all interesting in their own way. Yeah, that'd be like asking a mom to pick between her children to ask you to say which is the most interesting episode of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, some are more interesting than others, if we want to paraphrase Orwell.
Yeah, and the latest episode of what turned out to be the, as Connor pointed out, the toughest season of The Amazing Race ever.
I don't think Connor really knows from tough seasons of The Amazing Race, because the last one, they were out pretty early. I'm just saying.
This is a very tough season of The Amazing Race. They had to shave a balloon, okay?
I think I had to do that at summer camp when I was 10.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk about everything here with The Amazing Race. So, very excited to have you guys here with us, of course, as part of our extended coverage of The Amazing Race. Tomorrow, I will have an interview with the Cowboys, Oh My Gravy, and I will be talking with them about what exactly happened and whether or not it was inappropriate for them to be U-turned by the Afghanimals. And then we will talk to ourselves. Is that right, Jess?
Yeah, we're just going to kind of pontificate to an empty room tomorrow night.
Yeah, so on our live show, and again, note the time change here. So what happened here is that we have a conflict with that I am going to be covering 24, which returns on Monday night on post-show recaps. And that live show is going to be normally at 10:15 p.m. Eastern, 7:15 p.m. Pacific on postshowrecaps.com. So originally we had bumped the Amazing Race podcast to 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, but what it turns out is that there's a Google Hangout update that's being done, so you can't even do Google Hangouts at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. So what we're going to do is move the 24 show to 11 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday, and then Jess and I will still continue to do our Amazing Race for the next 3 weeks live at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. So a 3-hour time jump forward on the Amazing Race show. So if they were ending a little too late for you, then you're in luck.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah. And so Jess and I will not just be talking to each other, but mostly we will be answering questions from you guys and taking your thoughts on The Amazing Race, and also going back and looking at some of the predictions that we made to the start of the season and sort of taking a look at what we expect to happen over the next couple of weeks. So I think that's going to be a fun show tomorrow night, Jess.
Yeah, we can kind of call it, like, you know, frequently when they're having a high-rated season of a CBS reality show, they have that episode in the middle where they just kind of go back and recap everything that's happened up to this point.
Yeah, a closer look.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're going to do that tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Monday, the 5th. It's our Cinco de Mayo special.
All right, I'll bring the tequila.
Okay, and so we can hang out on the Spanish Steps.
Of course.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about this, because here is why I am besides myself tonight, Jess. For the last 3 weeks, we have heard nothing but how much everybody hates the Brentschels. And we have the accidental alliance. And the only reason the accidental alliance exists is to U-turn Brentschel.
Yep.
And so the Afghanimals get to the U-turn, and they don't U-turn Brentschel. Why did we hear about this accidental alliance for 3 weeks if we're not going to U-turn Brentschel?
if you, you want to be perfectly fair, Rob, Brentel did get U-turned. They just weren't around to appreciate it.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but the Afghanimals kind of proved, again, that they are strategic thinkers. They're not going to necessarily... A lot of times this season, I think we've seen them sacrifice the most strategic and intelligent decision for helping out their alliance. And when it really counted, they said, you know, this is more important.
Well, let's start here. Was this the right strategic decision for them?
I think it was.
Now, well, I guess it depends on who you consider to be the bigger threats, the Cowboys or Brentel.
Well, I think it is kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other, but there's one team of those two teams. One of those teams can get really emotional when faced with something that they're not good at. And the other team might face something they're not good at, but it won't destroy them personally.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to a very pressure-filled final leg, I think I would much rather be racing against Brentel than the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Although the Cowboys had a very piss-poor leg this week. They seemingly were making mistakes at every opportunity.
Yeah, with or without that U-turn, they were not long for the race.
Yeah. I was really curious because now, and maybe things were edited way out of order, but we went away from Jen and Caroline for a long time, which made me feel like as a viewer, they were really struggling with the dancing. But I would have to say there's probably no visual evidence to support that they struggled with the dance task.
No, they said that they felt really comfortable with it.
But I would have to go back and maybe somebody could do this in the comments. At what point in the hour do they arrive at the detour? And then at what point do they leave? Because it made it seem like they were going to not get to the U-turn before, or it seemed like the Cowboys were going to get to the U-turn before they were. And I wonder how much that was having some fun with the time in the editing.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think some of the people that take this a lot more seriously than I do, and yeah, there are such people in the world, would do things like look at the position of the sun when each team checked in at the mat to determine like how much time had gone by.
Yeah, because I wonder if Jen and Caroline actually got to the U-turn, you know, well before the Cowboys did.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. And they could have even potentially gotten there after they did.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. So you think that they could have not U-turned anybody, the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't they?
I don't think it's likely, but I think at that point, if they assumed they were already in last place, what is to be gained by U-turning? Like, they don't even know who to U-turn.
Well, when they got there, didn't they see that they were U-turned?
Yeah, they saw that they were U-turned, and they could then choose to U-turn somebody else. But the only team, they were kind of far enough in the back that I don't think they necessarily knew.
Well, when they got there, they were fifth.
Yeah, when they got there, they were, yeah.
Okay, so, and so Jen and Caroline had already been there before then.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because they U-turned Brentel, and so... They had seen that they were able to, that Brentel had been U-turned at that point.
Yeah.
Just interesting that after all this, that was not what was done. And I was a little confused in the timing because I'm like, oh, that I think that Jet and Cord are going to get there before Jen and Caroline, and they're going to U-turn Jen and Caroline. I'm like, there's not enough time in this episode.
Yeah, it's true, but I also felt like Jen and Caroline were getting a little bit of, they were also getting a little bit of a misleading edit because you always have that one team where they don't show them for a stretch of time and it's almost like they want to make you forget about them because there's no suspense, and then at the end just kind of tack on a little montage of what they did after everybody else checked in.
Yeah.
I felt like they were almost heading for Jen and Caroline to do that, and then they kind of veered in a totally different direction.
And then I thought, is Jamal going to have to quit the race here? I thought maybe, is that why we have such little time? Because, especially when they got to the Met, I thought we were going to have like a Dave and Connor situation, first definition, where did you think Jamal was in any danger to leave the race?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell how serious that was, but the fact that it was serious enough that they were talking about changing up their strategy suggested to me that I think it was somewhere on the continuum of it wasn't going to make them quit the race, but it might end up being the reason they get eliminated.
Yeah, that was a really, really interesting moment because they got to the mat and Phil was like, Jamal, you look sad. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? They're going to make like a announcement. But they said that that was the reason why they changed their U-turn strategy. Are you buying that the injury to Jamal's knee was what changed up their U-turn strategy?
I don't think it was the sole deciding factor, but I think it had a little bit to do with it. Because at that point, they have to think about not only who can they outrun, but who can they outrun if one of them has a bad knee.
Yeah. Now, did you think that challenge was too dangerous?
I don't think that's necessarily the most violent challenge we've seen, but it sure seemed... I'm not buying that this is something that people in Spain do for fun on the regular.
No?
No. And I'm also, I think it was a little there was a little unnecessary roughness in there.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, yeah, everybody is, you know, you're in the 75% of your body is in that bubble and you seem okay. But I was surprised at how violent those people were that were basically like running them over in those bubbles.
Yeah, I quite liked when people got mad and started running into them back.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that was necessarily the intended outcome there.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Leo and Jamal, they seem to be good sports about the whole thing, but both Rachel and Dave, ironically, those two, the people that have been feuding this season, they were the two people that were getting upset.
Yeah, well, I mean, how dare people run into them? Don't they know that she's a woman and he's old?
Yeah, Dave, with the, hey, I'm old. I'm old.
Picturing him like, now I'm just picturing him as Grandpa Simpson the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, Jess, how old have been the oldest people to run the Amazing Race?
Much older than Dave. I don't know what the official oldest person is, but in recent memory, in season 12, we had a grandfather-grandson team, and the grandfather was 72.
Yeah.
So that's 12 years older than Dave, and you never once heard him say, I don't know why they're doing this to me because I'm old and I should be given special treatment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think of 60 as super old, you know? Maybe just because that, you know, I'm... As I get older, you know, but 60, I don't think of as like an elderly person.
Yeah, I mean, my parents aren't even 60 yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think especially for somebody who's in as good of shape as Dave is, like, I feel like he's really throwing around the old card.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, this is a terrible way to phrase this. I feel like he's using it as a crutch.
Yeah.
And maybe because he doesn't have an actual crutch this season.
Yeah. And now what did you think as a woman about Rachel's complaints of, hey, I'm a girl?
I think Rachel was the last woman left in the race that had not pulled that crap. And now I don't know whether to root for her or not.
I feel like if I was a woman, I feel like the offensive part of that was when she says, I'm just a girl. You don't have to hit me so hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it was me, I'd just be hitting them back. But
well, yes.
Yes.
Well, that's obvious with you. But I feel like for her to say, I'm just a girl.
Yeah. I like, why are you buying into this?
Yeah. Which seems very un-Rachel-like to say something like that.
Yeah, I mean, especially Rachel in this race.
Yeah.
Because up until this point, she has been very positive, very, I am strong and capable, and we're going to win this whole thing so we can have babies. And now, all of a sudden, it's, why are you being so mean to me? I'm a girl and you can't be mean to girls.
Yeah. Now, let me just say that, you know, this is also in the heat of, you know, people knocking her over that she said this. So this wasn't like something that she said, even in Dave's case, too. This wasn't something that they said in confessional, where I feel like you're thinking about what you're saying before you're saying it very much. This is, you know, basically what the microphone is picking up as she's being bowled over by a bunch of guys in plastic bubbles. But still.
Yeah, it was definitely the heat of the moment. But I also have to point out, there was at least one confessional tonight with Rachel where Rachel seemed really, really upset. Like she had just finished crying or she was about to start crying. And I wonder if she continued to be upset about this after the fact.
Yeah. I mean, Brendan was really mixing it up with those guys. And did you know that Brendan spoke Italian or is he speaking Spanish?
I think they speak Spanish in Spain.
Okay.
I don't know what Brendan was speaking.
Yeah. What he said, it looked like that on the lower third on the bottom of the screen, but he said to the guys like, you bulls don't have any balls. Is that what he
said? Yeah, that was what he said.
Yes. So there you go.
But they would technically be steers if they didn't have any balls.
Well, we don't need to get into
animal husbandry.
Yeah. So let's talk about the first task in this challenge. Now, once you heard that we were going to Seville, did you know immediately we're going to have a Barber of Seville challenge?
Well, I suspected as much just because I feel like all season they've been giving like 0.05 seconds of thought to every task. Like, what is the first thing we think of when we say Seville? Let's just free associate Barber. Okay, let's run with it.
Okay. And were you impressed at all with the let's put shaving cream on a balloon and shave a balloon challenge on The Amazing Race?
I think that was literally the cheapest possible task they could come up with.
Yeah. I mean, whereas the second part of the challenge, the detour was pretty intense. I would have to say that shaving a balloon is probably like as lame and as double dairy as you can get on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, it's true. Like all it was missing was the balloon needed to be full of green slime.
Or a confetti or something. Yeah. I did like it, the guy that was popping the balloon as soon as you got to zero. I thought that was pretty good, but I just kind of felt like, you know, shaving balloons with faces on it seemed something out of like a kid's birthday party.
It really did. And I don't think that having an opera singer singing in your face while you were doing it really ups the drama anymore.
Yeah. I had tweeted this during the show, but did you think that Theon or Reek from Game of Thrones would be able to handle this challenge?
I think Theon would rock it.
I think so. I think so. You could also be like telling him like very disturbing things as you're going along.
You could have the opera guy sing them to him.
Yeah. And then Brendan can say to him in Spanish that he doesn't have any balls.
Oh, that's a low blow.
So did you think it was also a low blow for Jamal to say that Connor hasn't hit puberty yet?
Well, I was just thinking, like, if they took it so personally that they got U-turned, what must Dave and Connor be thinking watching the Afghanimals say hilariously mean, snarky things about them in confessionals? Like, I think someone just got crossed off the Christmas card list.
I would have to think so. Now, what do you think the reaction of Dave and Connor is going to be next week when they realize that the Afghanimals U-turned the Cowboys?
Well, I mean, how could they do that to Dave and Connor? Don't they know he's old?
Yeah, because Dave and Connor, even when they got to the U-turn, like, well, we can't U-turn anybody, but we wish we could, because we would U-turn the F out of Brenchel if we could right now.
Yeah, I think also we got to point this out because I had a lot of people asking me this on Twitter. The reason they couldn't use the U-turn was because you only get one per season and they had already used theirs. I just wanted to make sure that's clear for everybody that wasn't totally 100% on why that was happening.
That seems like a very arbitrary rule to me that you can only U-turn once a season. Why can't you U-turn people twice a season?
I think it's stemming from the spirit of the fast forward, where you could only get one fast forward per season. And back in the salad days of Amazing Race, that actually meant something because they had a bunch of them throughout the race. And I feel like they're kind of pretending there are more U-turns than there are. Like, if they had a U-turn on every leg, you'd have to be actually strategic about it.
But doesn't it inhibit teams from using the U-turn and thus defeat the purpose of having the U-turns on the show? I mean, hypothetically, if there was a situation where Brendan and Rachel could have U-turned Dave and Connor, wouldn't we have wanted to see that as a viewer, have Brendan and Rachel with the possibility to U-turn Dave and Connor again?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So why are they making a situation where you could have potentially worse TV by not having, you know, first off, we missed the opportunity for Dave and Connor to get their revenge against Brenchel. And by having the rule, you can only U-turn once a season. Would that have been a better TV to have Brendan and Rachel get U-turned by Dave and Connor tonight?
I think it would almost be giving Dave and Connor a little too much power.
Yeah. Well, now
I feel like this is the Tyler Perry idol of The Amazing Race.
Yeah. Now, it works out great for us as the viewer because if Dave and Connor explode at the Afghanimals next week, but I don't, based on the fact we didn't see that in the previews, makes me think that that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I feel like also the U-turn is kind of, if you can only use it once, that means you kind of, if you want to have any power over it the next time it comes around, it kind of forces teams into collusion with each other, which I think is something that the show always tries to up a little bit.
Okay. They like collusion?
Yeah, they do, because they like having that angle of like strategy and alliance, because without it, you just have a bunch of people with their eyes on the road. It would be like, you know, five teams of cowboys just racing and not interacting with each other. And the interactions are what make the show interesting, I think.
Okay. Now, Dave, in this episode, again, going back to the Brenchel thing that he talked about, him and it was Dave and Connor talking about how they were still upset with Brenchel. And Dave said that, well, you know, it was just inappropriate. We didn't think that was a good use of the U-turn. And we thought it was inappropriate how Brenchel used the U-turn. Now, what is an inappropriate way to use a U-turn?
I don't think there is an inappropriate way to use a U-turn. There is a strategically sound way to use it and a strategically less sound way to use it. And I think they would be well within their rights to say that didn't even make any strategic sense. But I don't think it's fair to be complaining that they got U-turned and taking it so personally. I don't think, and especially not, you know, three legs later.
Yeah, this is three legs later. I mean, it's not like Brenchel took out like a magic marker and drew like a, you know, a black eye or an eye patch or like colored out Dave's teeth and Dave and Connor suck and put that up as the U-turn. Like, there was nothing inappropriate about them using the U-turn.
Yeah, no, they didn't write, you know, F you, Dave and Connor on the U-turn board.
Now, what did you think of the Cowboys' reaction to getting U-turned by the Afghanimals?
I don't want to dwell too much on that because I feel like they might have been going off in a direction that I'm not fully comfortable with on their comments about being U-turned by the Afghanimals.
They said that they knew that they were untrustworthy.
Yeah, they knew that they could not trust the Afghanimals, which I guess is a fair point.
Yes. And so, did you feel like they took it harder than they should have?
I don't think so, because I don't think they took it personally. I think the Cowboys are smart enough to know when it's a race. And they know that they're a threat. They know that they're good racers. And certainly, if they were in the Afghanimals' shoes, I think it would be something they'd have to ponder seriously. So I think they were probably a little irritated because it did end up knocking them out of the race, but I don't think they're sitting there saying, oh, the Afghanimals had it out for us from the beginning, and how dare they, and it's such a terrible thing that they did. I think they're just pointing out, you know, these weren't guys that we were going to work with anyway, and now I guess I see why we didn't.
At the risk of sounding like a hypocrite, did the Cowboys make a mistake by not going along with the accidental alliance and really, yeah, we hate Brenschel too. Brenschel sucks. And really playing up how much they were on board with the U-turn Brenschel plan to the point where maybe the Afghanimals might have felt bad about doing that to somebody who was in their alliance.
I don't think that makes any sense from any angle because, A, the three teams in the accidental alliance, the least invested in this alliance are the Afghanimals. So I don't think it pays to, like, suck their kneecaps about this. and B, it's not in the Cowboys' nature to make those kinds of alliances. And I think it really plays against their instincts. And they would not be racing their best race if they spent all this time on this little petty drama stuff.
One more thing about the U-turn. So now Jen and Caroline, they get to U-turn somebody, and they're going to assume that Brenschels are behind them, and so they try to use the U-turn on Brendan and Rachel, and I'm not sure if it was Jen or Caroline says, "Sorry, Brenschels, it's nothing personal." Really?
Really? Yeah.
Is it nothing personal, or is it 100% personal?
It's absolutely personal.
Yeah.
But I don't think Brenschel were too broken up over it, considering that they didn't actually have to perform the U-turn.
Or is that code, Jess, when somebody says that it's nothing personal, it means 100% that it is personal?
Is that like when people in the South say, "Bless your heart"?
Yeah. I forget who I was listening to talk about this recently, but yeah, that kind of means that, you know, this person is an a-hole.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's get into taking your questions. We have a lot of questions. Of course, over the last couple of weeks, I've started to open up a question thread on Facebook, like I do with the Survivor Show, to take your questions. So we have a lot of questions from Facebook, a lot of questions from Twitter, and we're going to try to answer now as many as we can. But first, Jess, I just want to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this podcast, and those are our friends at DraftKings.com. Jess, I know you are a big baseball fan. Are you enjoying this baseball season?
More than I thought I would, to be honest.
Well, Jess, you can always feel like a baseball bunny when you go to DraftKings.com. And fantasy baseball is back, and you don't want to miss what's happening at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-day fantasy baseball site. At DraftKings, fantasy baseball is getting huge. Anyone can enter with just a few bucks and win a ton of cash. Listen to this, Jess. Somebody turned $11 into $4,000, and another player won $100,000 their first time ever playing, let alone people who are playing for their second or the third time, like the Cowboys. Somebody even won $1 million playing at DraftKings.com in one day playing fantasy baseball. So DraftKings takes fantasy baseball to a whole new level. Now you can win instant cash every game. So it's easy to play one-day fantasy baseball at DraftKings. That means no season-long commitments, no being stuck with players, just instant cash every day. So right now, you can score free entry into DraftKings' biggest fantasy baseball contest of the year. $3 million in cash prizes with $1 million for first place, just like the Amazing Race, Jess.
Wow. And it seems like it would be a lot less work. And, you know, I think even old people could handle that.
Yeah, whether you're old or if you're just a girl, you could also play. Enter ROB today at DraftKings.com for your free shot at hundreds and thousands or even $1 million. Free spots are going quick. So enter ROB now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right. So, Jess, now that we have thanked our friends at DraftKings, let's get into talking about some of your questions from The Amazing Race tonight. So let's start with Wando, who wants to know, "Hi, Rob and Jessica, how excited are you that the Leo and Jamal of old returned in this episode with a very strategic and greedy move? Did their U-turning of the Cowboys redeem their conformist Mr. Nice Guy's behavior from the previous episodes this season? It definitely redeemed them for me."
I don't know. Maybe. I don't necessarily have a strong feeling on them.
I just feel like they didn't own what they did. Like, if they would have come out and said, ha ha, we, you know, had those people in the Accidental Alliance thinking that we were with them the whole time, but we're playing our own game. And, you know, it's much better for us for... Now, they did say that to a degree, but...
They weren't in our faces about it. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I feel like, well, were they just being hypocritical or were they playing the Accidental Alliance?
I don't think they made a conscious decision either way. I think they, when it came down to it, they thought about themselves. They weren't deliberately. I think the difference was last season, I feel like they were looking for opportunities to screw people and be the villains. And this season, it's more like they're just out for number one.
Yeah. And so do you feel like the injury to Jamal will slow them down, or do you think it's sort of just something that they're going to get over?
I think it's hard to say. I'll tell you when we're going to find out. We're going to find out in the first 10 minutes of next week's episode. If we see a doctor looking at Jamal's knee, then I think they're done for.
Okay. John Johnston has a question. Phil tweeted that the bull challenge is the hardest ever on the race. Which task do you think is more challenging in all 24 seasons of the race? Do you agree with Phil's hyperbolic tweet?
I think there are different definitions of hard. I feel like this might have been a little bit physically taxing, but I didn't see anybody like beating their heads against a wall for hours trying to solve it. And certainly we've had that on the race before.
Yeah. You know, it's very difficult to be a bubble boy.
It certainly is.
it can put you in a very bad mood being a bubble boy.
It can turn you into kind of a Brad.
Yeah. Make you very upset. Okay.
Okay, another one on Facebook. We've got Abby Catherine wants to know, Rob and Jessica, this is an extension of another question that someone already asked about Dave and Connor and roadblocks. Isn't there some sort of rule that says the roadblock tasks have to be divided equally between both team members? Didn't this go into effect after Chip and Kim's season? And the answer to that is that, yes, there is a rule about roadblocks. And you do have a certain number of roadblocks. By the final leg, each team member must have performed an equal number of roadblocks.
Should we get some sort of like a counter on the bottom of the screen of who has done what?
I wish we would, but I can actually tell you who has done how many roadblocks.
Oh.
And this might actually come into play next week. You max your roadblocks out at 6. So if you, once you do 6 roadblocks, your partner has to do all the rest of the roadblocks. And I do see that of the final 4, everyone has done 5 roadblocks except Dave, who has done 4, and Connor, who has done 6. So next week, Dave has to do all the roadblocks.
Ooh.
And because he is old, and because the show has it out for him because he's old, that might come into play.
Okay. How about this from Mike Bloom, who wants to know, in Jess's opinion, what was the Cowboys' strongest showing and what was their most likable showing? And is there a difference?
I think there is a difference. I feel like their first time out, they were such a dominant team that they came back in season 18 and everybody wanted to be rid of them right away. But then this season, they flew under the radar, and every time we saw them, we're like, oh yeah, those guys, I like those guys. So I feel like their strongest showing was their first, and their most likable is probably this most recent.
Randy Rice says, have Jess plug the finale viewing party that she's organized in NYC. I'm so excited for it. Tell us about what you're doing for the finale.
Well, it's definitely not as wild and crazy as Tarkon gets, but we are going to get together. If you're in the New York City area or you want to come to the New York City area, we are doing a party at a bar on 45th Street called Beer Culture, and it's a wonderful place to hang out, and that's going to happen on May 18th. And I have a link to a Facebook event that we'll put up on the page so that you guys can click through and RSVP. We're going to have, so far we've got about 20 people coming, so I think it's going to be a pretty good time.
Well, I'm sure that's going to be a very good time. What are we going to do about the podcast, Jess?
I will stay fairly sober, and I can talk to you when I get home from the party.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm on the West Coast time, so that shouldn't be a problem. So whenever you get in, hopefully, if you are, I mean, I want you to enjoy yourself. Maybe this might just be an incoherent podcast.
Yeah. Should I just have the fans vote? Like, should I get wasted drunk, or should I actually try to have an intelligent conversation?
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll figure that out as we go along. We still have 2 more weeks to figure out all of that for.
Yeah. And getting wasted at Tarkon is a rookie move. And I think getting wasted at this party is an even rookier move. So
will
there you have it.
The teams be in New York?
No, the teams are going to be in Las Vegas.
Oh.
They are having a party of their own, but I am not yet at the financial point in my life where I can leave the Eastern Seaboard on behalf of the Amazing Race. And sometime in the future, if they're having a West Coast party, I'll be out for that. But this time, I'm sticking close to home.
Okay. Fair enough.
And I think it's fair to say that one of the reasons I got so heavily involved in the Amazing Race fandom is that they have all their big parties in the town where I live. So,
yeah,
it was easy.
All right. Ryan German says, in advance, Rob, the Cowboys have been known to give one word answers and not explain everything in interviews. So don't ask hypothetical questions to them or you'll just get a sure. Ha ha. Jess, is this true? Have the Cowboys been known to give one word answers in interviews?
Yeah, I think they have been. They've not been the greatest interview subjects, but I know they haven't all been interviewed by you, you know?
Yes,
I have faith you're going to have good questions for them. And just make sure they're open-ended so that they have to give you something other than yes or no.
All right, so I will have my work cut out for me in that exit interview.
It's nice to have advance notice, isn't it?
Yeah, that is good to know. So, all right, so maybe we'll put our heads together, come up with some really good questions for the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, I think we should ask them what John Johnston just asked them. What do they think is their strongest performance, and what do they think has been their most likable?
No, Mike Bloom. That was Mike.
Oh, that was Mike Bloom, right.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Tara Bass wants to know, what's more huge, Tony's idol or Leo and Jamal U-turning the Cowboys?
Well, I think arguably Leo and Jamal needed it more.
Well, maybe not the Tyler Perry idol.
No, maybe okay. Not, but
Zachary Chong wants to know, do you think that the country singers will turn on the Alliance because of Leo and Jamal's U-turn?
I think at this point, everybody has to be in it for themselves. And anybody that's not going to be running their own race in this next leg deserves everything they get.
Okay.
So I'm not going to look down on the country singers, and I'm not going to feel like it's some kind of vendetta against Leo and Jamal for not U-turning the people that they thought they were going to U-turn. I think it's just going to be plain and simple. Everybody has to run their own race now.
Jeffrey K wants to know, is it better to ease up during the early legs so you won't be seen as a threat and potential U-turn target?
Well, you know who did that to great effect, I think, with Bates and Anthony.
Yeah.
They teamed up with the country girls, and they really kind of, they were just feeling out the race for the first few legs, and they followed other people to the destinations, and they would, you know, they kind of collude on tasks in a really friendly way. And then when it came down to the end, I think they weren't seen as the dominant alpha team. And then they started winning legs, and then they didn't stop winning legs until the very end.
So is that basically the ideal Big Brother strategy, where you sort of just like lay low, you know, don't try to win comps early on, and then towards like the second half of the game, just put it into high gear?
Yeah, I think it's a very valid strategy, and I think it's worked for a lot of people.
Okay. Matt Gregg wants to know, how many times has Rachel tripped over nothing on the race? Has that happened before, Jess?
Yeah, it has happened at least one other time. She just kind of like wiped out for no reason. I think she tries to get a little too far ahead of herself, and maybe this is a side effect of wearing nylons. I don't really know.
Oh, no. Okay. Alicia wants to know, was Rachel E. Riley mistreated during the bull task? I call BS. Now, is the BS involved with the bull?
Yeah, the actual bull.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that. And I had a couple of people suggest to me that they thought I was going to be a little easier on Brenchel because I've been very pro-Brenchel up until this point. But no, I mean, if you're going to do something ridiculous, I'm going to say it's ridiculous. I don't care who you are.
Okay. No, you're not taking it easy on Rachel for this one.
Yeah, so absolutely anybody left in the race starts complaining that they're getting unfair treatment when they're getting the exact same treatment as everybody else. You know, you're all being ridiculous.
John Johnson wants to know, which eating speed bump is better, the ham or the ice cream that the Beekman boys got to eat?
No question, the ice cream.
Okay.
I seem to recall that the Beekman boys kind of messed up the ice cream and had to order it again. And I'm thinking, that's the best way to mess up a task.
Was that intentional?
Darn.
Yeah.
It might have been. Oh, darn, I bought the wrong ice cream. I got to buy another one.
Matt Gregg wants to know, better strategy to deal with the bulls, running or rolling?
I think it's got to be running. I think you want to just kind of put your head down and go as hard as you can and try to get through the course as fast as you can.
Alex Wilpon wants to know, I think we need an out-of-context, inappropriate comments section in the podcast this week. Just, did you note any good out-of-context, inappropriate race comments tonight?
It's funny you ask that.
Do you have any top five list?
I had quite a few. I don't know if I had five, but I've got... okay, here we go. I have one from... here's an out-of-context quote from Dave. He said, boy, you got nailed and you knew it.
Whoa.
Whoa. I have, your ham hocks look good, Jen.
Okay.
We have ham meat all over us.
I'm not sure how that's inappropriate, but certainly an odd quote.
It was just kind of out of context. I don't even know what it means, but, and I also have, and this might be the number one, my pants are falling off.
There you go. Okay. Anything else from the amazing race tonight?
We have covered quite a lot of ground tonight.
Yeah. All right. So, do you want to talk about the final four teams? We have the Cowboys out of the mix now. Is this Dave and Connor's race to lose?
Yeah. Well, you know, unless they start being unfair to old men, I think it is. They've won the most legs. They're really not showing any signs of slowing down. So I would say that they are probably the most likely bet.
Did you think that Dave had a good line when he broke out the help, I've fallen and I can't get up?
Yeah, that was pretty good. At least he does have a somewhat of a sense of humor about it. Yes. I think he kind of realizes how ridiculous he's being.
It's a very self-aware old guy thing to say.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Okay. Who is the biggest competition to Dave and Connor, would you say? Is it Brenchel or is it the beat up Afghanimals?
I gotta say, I was gonna say Afghanimals until tonight, and now without knowing how severe Jamal's injury is, I don't know that I can say they're the strongest competition. I'd say Brenchel's very hungry.
They're hungry. So if Leo and Jamal should not win the amazing race, and it seems as though this knee injury is the reason why they did not win, do you think it's in the cards for a third time on the race for Leo and Jamal?
I think you have to be very, very special to get called back for a third time. Unless they're starting to go the way of Survivor, where they're just going to stop casting new people and they're just going to call old people all the time.
In fairness, I don't think Survivor has done that so much.
No, it's just been more recently, I think they've recycled a little bit more. And we're kind of operating on a cycle here where it was first there was you went 11 seasons and you cast an all-star season. And then you went 7 more seasons after that. And then you cast another all-star season. And then it was 5 after that. And I feel like there's kind of this like half-life thing going on.
Okay. All right. So Jess and I will be back together to answer your questions tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Plus, I'll have my interview with the Cowboys on robhasawebsite.com. Make sure you're subscribed and don't miss any of it. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes for the iTunes feed, or you can subscribe any way you want by clicking the podcast tab on robhasawebsite.com. All right, Jess. Well, thank you so much. I'll let you go to bed now. We got a busy day tomorrow.
Indeed we do.
All right. So take care, everybody. Let us know what you think in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
All right. Bye.